It's time to get your ears fucked.
You loot, crude, rude, bag of pre-chewed food, dude.
Make it rain, Peter!
Welcome to Sold Outcast.
This is episode 164 of the Sold Outcast podcast, our debut episode on Audio Boom. I am the Hostmaster General Mike. Before we start getting into our guest, Joel Mingle, later on, I just want to touch on a few things. So, for old listeners, you may be a little confused, and you may have noticed that, like, all of our old episodes have sort of disappeared. New listeners, you may be wondering, why the fuck is this guy on episode 164? Well, let me explain. So, for the first 100 or so episodes, I did them with my friend Aaron. That's who I started it with, and then eventually real life called him away, and then I brought in two other good friends of mine, Nick and Corey, and with them we did technically 30 some odd episodes, but somehow we managed. There's a whole story there. I digress. But again, real life reared its ugly head, and we had to go on a bit of a sabbatical, and I made the decision to bring it back, and just the Mike Show. This is what you get. I hope you you're gonna get what you paid for. So here we are. We're on Audio Boom now, and I'm pretty excited. We will be new episodes, hopefully every week. We may occasionally take off between those episodes, and during off weeks, we'll be re-releasing older episodes for the new listeners and for the old listeners that want to drift away and into the nostalgia that is classic Sold Outcast. But yeah, I gotta tell you something. The other day I was driving home and I was coming up to a stop sign, and there was this couple, probably in their 30s, you know, definitely they were like that tattooed parents, yeah, we're cool kind of a thing they had going on, and pushing their kid, the little baby. I'm hoping, well, maybe not. We'll see how the story goes, but I'd like to believe that it wasn't just an empty stroller that they were pushing with the fucking bassinet over it. But so it's like 90 degrees outside, and they got this stroller, the whole hood is pulled down, you know, there's a blanket over top of it, because I guess we can't, you know, we don't want the kid to get cancer by the time it's two, I guess. But, you know, what I'm thinking is, people get arrested all the time for leaving their kids in a car for 10 minutes while they run in to get a gallon of milk or some cigarettes. And these people are pushing their fucking little kid around in a goddamn stroller in 95 degree weather. That kid's baking like a fucking potato, and that's okay. That's all right. I guess that's what society is telling me, that that's okay. So, I think the moral of the story is, if you're a single parent and you need to go to the convenience store, there's no one to watch the kid, don't leave the kid in the car. Just leave them in the trunk. I think that's the moral of the story. So this week, guest is Joel Mingle. This is his fourth time being on the Sold Outcast podcast. He's got some new shit to talk about, so let's bring him in.
The future is now! Soon every American home will integrate their television, phone, and computer. You'll be able to visit the Louvre on one channel, or watch female mud wrestling on another. You can do your shopping at home, or play Mortal Kombat with a friend in Vietnam. There's no end to the possibilities.
So, you're back. It's been a while. Yeah, how many times have you been on before? Two, three?
Three times, actually.
I the first time, then there was a time where you were supposed to fight Tony Beard. But you didn't.
But apparently my apology involving my nuts getting crushed and hurt for 3 days.
I don't even remember the beef. There's a beef between you and Tony, and I, but it was like his beef though. I don't think it was your beef. Oh man, that was like episode like fucking 36 or who knows. So then another time that I don't remember because I don't remember 90% of them. And yeah, but now so four, you're the Quattro.
I'm the Quattro.
You're like a almost high end razor blade.
You know what? I can live with that. I'm almost high and classy at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. You're not $35 for a pack of new blades. You're like 27.
That way I just get more. That's how it works.
You get more. I don't think that makes any sense. So what have you been up to since the last time? The whole point I played that fucking soundbite and I already forgot was because we are using the future technology. The first time on this podcast, first time on SoulDialcast that we've ever used Skype. I used to hate even the idea of it. Of course, it was the way the SoulDialcast used to be recorded. It was like 2, 3, or however 4 or 5 people around just a single omnidirectional recorder. And dealing with that and Skype on top of it is a fucking would have been a fucking nightmare. So I never wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But now we are big time. We're like a Peter Gabriel song, you know.
I don't know
big,
that one.
Big time, go with A down this da da da. That's all I can say. So, but yeah. So this is I did do. This is going back for a brief amount of time. I did. Diary of a Mad Atheist. It was I think it did like 4 or 5 episodes.
Steve Drake.
Yeah. You're getting ahead of me. I had this grand plan, that this is going to be it. This is what, cause I want nothing more than just to get on and rail against usually just organized religion, but sometimes individuals. And like 2 of the episodes are really good because they were other people that were on it agreed with me as far as like wanting to rail against shit. But the rest of them either A were not good because I was like, you know, like it's like when someone's like half interested in what you're talking about, but they're stuck talking to you about it because there's a fucking microphone. It's a nightmare as an interviewer. Then the other time was Steve Drake. Is that was his
Drain.
Name? Drain. Steve Drain. How do I fucking forget that? Steve Drain from the Westboro Baptist Church. You may know them from a soldier funeral near you. And you know what I remember about that? I think that actually was the last one I did. And here's what I found out arguing with a person like that. Because I love to argue. I love a good debate. I don't get angry when I argue unless someone gets angry first. And then all bets are off. I kind of consider it an extra. That's how people learn. That's how you become more intelligent as you test each other and you come out ahead. But when one person is so adamant to ignore everything you say and just repeat the same fucking talking lines over and over and over and over again, it just becomes infuriating. So I had like this 2-hour fucking chat with this guy. And he would say something goddamn ridiculous, and I would say, well, what about this? And he would go, well, you know what Job said about that, and blah, 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 blah. It never made any sense. I probably have it saved somewhere. If I do find it, maybe I'll cut pieces of whatever. Fucking, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Fuck that shit. I'm not doing that shit. Okay. Back to the matter at hand. Joel.
Sir.
Dr. Death.
Yes, thank you for having me
on
the show.
As I said, you have been up to things.
I have helped reproduce.
You have reproduced. You have a child.
Yes, sir.
Has not been stolen by a Carpathian
gypsy. No,
no, not gypsy. Carpathian king.
Anti-gypsy measurements are put in place in this house at all times.
No. I was going to say a Carpathian king that sits on a throne of skulls on a throne of bone on a mountain of skulls by a river of blood. What was shall be, whatever. Fuck, you know what I'm talking. Ghostbusters 2, man. Ghostbusters 2.
How the fuck do I not
a
know
child?
Vigo the
Carpathian.
Vigo the Carpathian.
Vigo the Destructor. No, no, that was from the first one.
This is going to be a lot of dead silence of us going.
Vigo the Carpenter?
No, Vigo.
Vigo.
Mortensen? No.
Vigo the Caregiver? Vigo the.
It doesn't matter. All you have to know is
construction. Anyway, how old is your kid?
He's a year. I can't stand it when people do the whole. My child is 18 months. No, he's 1 year old. He's a fucking year old.
Uno.
He's Uno. And he's an asshole. Don't get me wrong. I love my kid. But he's kind of a cock.
Like a little bit.
No, just no.
No, you love him just a little bit.
Okay, I love him a little bit. He's a massive little prick.
He's a little asshole, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He shit on me yesterday.
If you legally could, you'd throw him out a window.
No. Okay, maybe. Now that I think about it, I might.
You got a fucking some. Okay, so I can see you again with the Skype. What is with the fucking are you gonna do a 360 jam at some point?
Oh, you mean the basketball?
Yeah. Are we doing Jordan versus Bird? Is that what's going on here?
We're in the toy room. That's the only place I can fit the
computer. Like that I'm totally gonna pick apart what's going on behind you right now. So what's with the there's shades behind you, right? What's with like partial polygon shape that's going on? Okay, so you have like some blackout curtains, right? But they're not completely pulled over. Mm-hmm. And then behind them, you have like the standard vinyl blinds, right? And mm-hmm. they go about halfway down, and then one side stops, and then the other side disappears at an angle behind the curtain. And I can kind of see what I could only describe as the outside scene of a home invasion movie about to happen.
Close. It's a parking lot. No, it's the parking lot for.
I think you just confirmed.
For the car lot behind us. And no.
Is it the Smiling Irishman?
What?
Is it the Smiling Irishman? The Smiling
no.
Irishman was a dude. Do you not remember that? He was a car salesman in Louisville. He famously sold Muhammad Ali a Cadillac when he was I did not know that. When he was still.
Capable of driving?
No, when he was still. Well, yes, that too. Cassius Clay is what I was going to say. But yeah. His mama named him Clay.
A bad place with it.
See, look, you got me sidetracked again. What the fuck is going on with the blinds? That's all I want to know.
Oh, some guys were getting arrested in the parking lot, and the 4-year-old came in here and threw it asunder and ripped up one side and just stood there and kept screaming, "Daddy, cop car, daddy, cop car." And then he ran back in the other room.
So is he like 4 times an asshole? If the 1-year-old is an asshole.
No.
Or is it exponential? Is it like.
No, once
like
you get past
12.9 out of an asshole.
No, once you hit the 2-year-old mark, you evolve. Children are a lot like Pokemon, and they evolve from asshole into he's currently in twat form.
Twat form?
He is a whiny little twat. Don't get me wrong. I love this kid. I've been pretty much his dad since he was 9 months old, but he is a twat of the highest caliber, and I want to punch him.
Just like how many times do you want to punch him?
At least 7 times an hour.
Just at least 7 times an hour.
Yeah.
Like that. Like
yes.
Yeah, bust some beer bottles. I just want to bust some beer bottles. Have you ever been hit with a beer bottle?
Mm-hmm.
True story. I've been hit with a beer bottle on the back of the head.
Yeah, it's nothing like in the movie. There's no shattering except your teeth.
You hope it doesn't shatter. I mean, if it shatters, they hit you hard enough to kill you. But no, I think there's 3 kinds of people in the world. There's the person that would never get in a situation where they're going to get hit with a beer bottle, mm-hmm. which is most people, and they're the smart ones. Then there's the person that gets hit with a beer bottle and they just crumple and accept whatever fate has in store for them. And then there's the person that gets hit with a beer bottle. Of course, it fucking hurts. But like something inside erupts, like that primal, you know, like the caveman, that, you know, kill or be killed instinct kicks in, and you just fucking teeth and nails and kicks and punches and elbows and whatever, whatever you got to do to end that fight. You know, if you got to fucking put a thumb in some guy's eyeball, that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what point I'm trying to make. Point is, don't get hit with a beer bottle. I think that's the public service announcement right now.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't have that sound. I don't. So, okay, so there's the four-year-old and the one-year-old. I completely forgot about the older kid.
Yeah.
You probably do too.
No. He's a good kid all in all. He says sometimes the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life, and it's fantastic. Like I'll give you an example. A couple months ago, we're walking. We have a routine. We leave grandma's. I pick him up. We go to Walmart. He goes and sees the fish. Everyone's happy. He goes home, goes to bed. Except this night, we're walking into Walmart. Two people are fighting on the other side of the parking lot. You got a giant fat woman, itty bitty little skinny guy, and she is beating the dog shit out of this guy. You're the reason my mother hates me. You're the reason I never finished college. And she's just beating the shit out of him. And I, you know, go into dad mode and I just start yelling like, hey, take it elsewhere or I'm calling the cops. And they go to stand up. And all of a sudden, this little kid who literally looks like Hitler's wet dream, blonde hair, blue eyes, so pale, you can see his veins, stands up in the cart and goes, oi, fuck off. Just fuck off. And then he looks at me with like big blue eyes grinning like, uh-huh, I did good. I was like, yeah, you get a Pop-Tart, buddy. You get a Pop-Tart.
Wait, your kid said that? Your kid's the one that said that?
Yeah, he just yells.
Okay, you know what? I got to tell you, he won me back over. I was about to tell you just to ship him off, you know, but that's pretty impressive, I got to say.
Yeah, he does redeem himself occasionally. Like he'll knock over something and he'll look at me and he'll go, oh, God damn it, Daddy. And I'm like, shh, your mom's in the other room. Shh, stop that.
God damn it. See, here's the thing. If and when I ever, there's ever a second me in this world, if the world is, you know, lucky enough to have that, I want that kid to be like very two-faced. And by that, I mean, like when it comes to dealing with me, what I say is what I say and what I say gets done. Fun rules though. But I mean, but when shit is real and you got to do it, like, you know, when you're being a fucking little asshole, you just reminded me. Okay. So I was fucking working out, Monday. I think it was Monday. Let's say it was Monday. And I'm sitting there, I'm on the bike and I'm looking out and right outside the windows is a pool and there's these two parents. And or there's some sort of South Asian whatever. I don't know why that matters. But
I was curious where you were going with this.
I want to give a complete story. That's it. Anyway, so they're sitting there and they're fucking talking and they're clasping their finger symbols while they're doing it and everything. And their little kid is running around like a maniac. And he's like taking, yeah, you got me. He's taking chairs and putting them in the pool. And it's like a nice pool. It's not like this is some shit pool, you know. This is not like some, it's like shitty public pool or anything. And they're still sitting there. And I'm thinking, okay, kids do stupid shit. You can't blame the kid for doing stupid shit. Sometimes you can, but usually you can't because they're a kid. They haven't built up that, you know, this is a bad idea, this is a good idea thing. And clearly, this kid definitely isn't going to because these fucking parents didn't even try to stop him. But I digress. So does it, whatever. And then they get up to go and leave and they don't take the chairs out.
Oh, fuck that.
They don't take the chairs out of the pool. And that's when I got pissed. That's when I fucking stopped what I was doing. And in this room full of people, you know, that I don't know with headphones and shit on and fucking doing their oldest, I just go, fuck that, real loud. A bunch of people just turned and looked at me and I was like, but the kids, the chair, all right, let me go back to my intervals.
There's one guy in the corner who's like, I totally feel you.
Oh no, it was all women. Like if there was a dude in there, yeah, that would have happened, but it was all women. And so they were probably just like, what the fuck is this crazy guy with fucking octopus demons on his arm, and what the fuck is he screaming about? Yeah, I don't want to say it's because of their nationality that they're horrible parents.
But you kind of want to.
But I... No, I don't want to. I'm but just saying, draw your own conclusion. That's all I'm saying.
You're doing the Jesse Ventura. We're only asking questions. Right. That's all.
I'm just asking questions. That's all I'm doing.
I'm looking for answers.
I'm not a racist. All my friends who know me say I'm not a racist.
Oh, God.
All my black friends know that I love black people.
All three of them.
All three of them. And I pay them. Anyway, so yeah, kids. I don't know. I don't know where I am on the whole, like, having kids thing. Like, I've kind of gone back and forth. I probably never have said this publicly. I've certainly probably said it. I know I've said it privately. I kind of really don't care, so I'm going to say it publicly. When I was married, I was married, and my ex-wife and I, it was never a question of we were going to have kids. There was the, general, like, oh, we're still somewhat young. Why do we want to, you know, throw our what little fun we have away to bring a blossoming little
hell spawn into the world? Yeah.
Wee baby Seamus into the world. But here's the thing. If I had been like, no, I want it, it would have happened. Like, it would have caved. The caving would have happened. And because I think I was more of the driving force. But here's why I was more of the driving force. It wasn't so much that I'm against having a child. I was against having a child with that person.
Oh, God.
And I mean, some people just aren't cut out for it. And you know what? She's a different person now. Maybe she is now. But back then, I mean, I loved my wife. Loved past this. I loved my wife. but she was a little selfish.
I love how you're just tap dancing through the verbal landmines here. You are just like, watch me dance, motherfucker. Yeah.
Tiptoe through the tulips, man. Some Tiny Tim action going on here. But no, she at that point in her life would not have been able to fully dedicate herself to being a mom. And I feel like that when you have, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, when you have a child, you are no longer the priority. Like, the child is the priority. And whatever you can save for yourself is, like, good. And you should certainly try to save as much for yourself as you can. But ultimately, everything you have to give for the kid, you have to do it. And I guess I just don't think that she could have at that point in her life.
Yeah, you're right about that.
About the situation.
That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say.
It's all you have to say.
I remember. And
I remember. Don't worry.
Why couldn't you pick up your whole pop can full of cigarette butts on the table?
I think we're doing two different songs.
I was just going, never mind.
Oh, you were just doing whatever I was doing in the air tonight.
Yeah, I was doing In the Air Tonight with my own lyrics of certain complaints I had heard you make many, many times about that.
Oh, you're talking about the cigarette butts and the coke cans.
Yeah.
I will tell that story again. So when I met my ex-wife, she was a smoker who, back at it, by the way, that was like one of the first things she started when our eternal bond of love crumbled. You might say it crumbled like the walls, or no, and they came tumble in.
Jesus, God in heaven.
I got it in there. I knew I was going to get one in there somehow. I knew I was going to get a Johnny Cougar in there somehow. Anyway, so when I first met her, she was a smoker. She was a smoker. And here's the thing. I've never been okay with cigarettes. I'm much more accepting of cigarettes than vapors. Like, fucking get away with me if you got an e-cig. Like, I want no part of that. That's a whole thing, though. That's a whole thing. We can get back to that if we want to. But
do you know before we go in, you know what the hardest part about vaping is?
Looking cool while you're doing it, because you got to wear like a hat, you got to wear like a button-up shirt, you got to wear some suspenders.
Oh no! Just telling your parents that you're gay.
Oh well, that too. Anyway, so yeah, when I first met her, she smoked. I didn't really have a problem with it as long as it's not in my face. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you, if you smoke like a fucking chimney, you're going to smell like it. She never really smelled like it, though. And she kept it out of my face, whatever. But when I first met her, she lived at her mom's house. And, you know, when you live with a parent or who doesn't have like a giant house, or you're like just crashing with a friend and you're just in a room, everything you own is in that room and shit piles up. And so she never really had like an ashtray. She would just leave Coke cans after she was done drinking them around and flick her cigarette ash into them. Well, just picture in your mind like 20 Coke cans just laying around. And then, you know, you come in one day and you're drinking a Coke and you sit down and you put your Coke down, blah, 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 conversation. You reach down. Ooh, you know what? I'm feeling thirsty. I'm feeling a little parched. You know what could really clear up this, you know, wash this down? You know, a nice Coca-Cola. And reach up, take one, and just mouthful of fucking watery cigarette ash and butt. Oh man,
God, I feel queasy.
that should have been it right there, man. That's when I should have known. I could have saved us both.
I had to go through that. My crazy Italian ex did the exact same goddamn thing.
Sounds like a memoir. Ready to be written.
Oh, there's so many stories. But she would hide the she would purposely not throw them away and just start stacking them on the floor next to the computer, where she would spend from the moment she woke up, which was like 9 a.m., till the moment I got home from work, which would be around midnight, playing World of Warcraft. So if you can imagine a moderately overweight Italian woman, New Yorker Italian woman, playing World of Warcraft, drinking nothing but Coke and smoking Newports all fucking day, how those would line up just start to add up. She would have it up to like 3 or 4 tiers high.
3 or 4? Like she's baking a cake?
Like she would just stack them on top of each other once she filled the whole can up with butts.
Okay, so you say my crazy Italian ex, is that what you said?
Yes.
Let's speculate the cover of this book if you were to ever write it. Like, I feel like that it should be you in like a really pompous chef outfit. I mean, like white coat, tall fucking hat, to the nines, you know, tie underneath it, sleeves kind of rolled up. Go. What should be your like pose? What is your prop?
Okay, the only pose you gotta have is the plain white background, the full suit, like you mentioned, the chef suit with the tie and everything, and then you gotta just have the world's most interesting man hand on the chin, right? And just look as dead serious as you can at the camera. And then just the title of it, Ricotta and Misery.
Ricotta. I like that. Here's what I came up with while you were talking. Same thing, nice chef shirt, you know, redressed really nice, big tall hat. You got one of those big wooden pizza thingies, you know, that they put the pizza in and out of the oven. You're holding it. Next to you is the brick oven, the drawers down, the flames. You can see the flames, and there's just a lady inside of it.
Okay, so what's the title? Got to have a title.
I thought we had the title. It was My Crazy Italian Ex.
Oh, Mike! I thought we had to come up with a new title.
Crazy Bread.
That works.
Yeah. There you go. Boom. That's how I do it. Okay. Before we get any too crazy or off course, let's bring it. We never did talk about it. You got something going on now. Well, you've been doing it for a while. The 1 minute reviews. You want to plug yourself here?
Yeah, I just for a while actually. 1 minute reviews are new. I'm still editing the 8 episodes I have filmed. 1 minute reviews is literally I take a movie and I review it in 1 minute or less and answer the question: is it that good or is it that bad? And I keep basically every episode under 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
That's
the magic number.
That's the maximum I want to get, because everything that I've ever recorded, I've noticed when watching the statistics for it, that's about as long as people get into my stuff and then they stop.
Well, I mean, I think that's how people do YouTube anyways. I mean, unless you're watching a show or you're watching a music video, you're kind of just flipping through what's on the right. you know, I was like, oh, that looks good. That looks good. That looks good. So yeah, 2 minutes and 30 seconds is your magic time. Magic hour. That from a very unappreciated movie.
If you say Rain of Fire, I'm going to
Rain
fight.
Of Fire.
God, I hate that fucking movie.
What? I love that movie. How do you hate that movie?
Where do I fucking start?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the best things about that movie, Matthew McConaughey.
His abs are undeniable. And in fact, one word, dreamy. I'll give him that. I don't understand.
It was the most un-Matthew McConaughey Matthew McConaughey had been up to that point.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Because there was no really like, all right, I killed the dragon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, since then, of course, he's been in movies like, you know, the one where he had AIDS.
Oscar bait?
Yes, Oscar bait, yes. And the previous Oscar bait, the prequel. But usually he's kind of like, just kind of, like the movie he won for, that movie, and then his work in True Detective, where he goes off the deep end and he actually shows that, hey, I'm actually a pretty decent actor when I decide to put the effort into it. But usually he's a Lincoln lawyer.
Yeah.
He's like the Lincoln lawyer meets the dude from Dazed and Confused, kind of all mushed together somewhere. And that's usually the spectrum that he operates on. But not in Rain of Fire. In Rain of Fire, it was one of those movies where he stepped out. He shaved his head.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one about his
If Nicole Kidman putting on a fake nose is somehow a great form of acting, then Matthew McConaughey shaving his head and smoking cigars, I think, counts as awesome.
No, there's nothing I have yet to see. And I say this knowing I'm going to get some shit for it, but
Dallas Buyers Club, I remember.
There it is. I've never seen a Nicole Kidman movie that I liked her in. I have yet to see a movie where she actually puts in a non-shitty. There, I'll just use that one. It's a non-shitty performance. In all honesty, I have yet to see a movie where I'm not annoyed by her general presence on screen.
I don't think she. I'm not a big fan of her either. I'm trying to run through my brain and think of a movie that she was in that I liked and sort of liked her in. I guess maybe Days of Thunder, maybe. Maybe Eyes Wide Shut. I do kind of like Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut is the very first episode of the new revamped 1 minute movies.
Now let me ask you a question, because this is actually usually pretty, whatever.
This is helping the audience.
It's late. My brain's already shutting down. A pretty good, like, divisive point of, and that is Batman Forever. Where do you fall on Batman Forever?
I did not like it.
Even with its soundtrack?
Okay, that soundtrack was the pure epitome of late 90s, early 2000s joy. But
there used to be a big tower along the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remains. All right, that's all we got. Hey, DJ, I told you, don't play it. I can't pay for it. Stop it. Don't play it again, sir.
Oh, I won't lie. I had that album, not the Batman, not Batman Forever. I had Seal, that album.
Yeah, with the white, with him just kind of posing.
Yeah, I wore the fuck out of that album. That CD could no longer be played. I played it so much it got scratched up. I have no shame in admitting it.
It's pretty shameful. But the reason why I bring this up is because Batman Forever was brought up a couple days ago amongst a bunch of people, and I said that it's like barely above Batman and Robin. Barely.
I got
a lot of flack.
No, the only thing that keeps that movie above Batman and Robin is Two-Face and Riddler. Those are the only two things that are keeping it above.
I love Tommy Lee Jones, but I hated that Two-Face.
Oh, yeah, but it's Tommy Lee Jones. Anything he does just imagine a shitty movie with Tommy Lee Jones in it. Now imagine that same shitty movie if Tommy Lee Jones was not in it. It'd be infinitely shittier.
I wish I would. Every time Tommy Lee Jones gets mentioned, I then think about The Fugitive, and then I'd think about Harrison Ford, and I wish I could do a Harrison Ford impression. It's like the series of events that happen. You switch the samples. That's the best I got.
I can't. Don't even.
John Beerley can do decent. Can do decent. There's like Ford impression. But anyway, so 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Fuel Neve reviews.
Fuel Neve reviews, and we also do Fuel Neve reacts, which is just occasionally, just for fun, I do reaction videos. And
you do the same thing I do, by the way, when you're talking about your thing and you say we, as if there's, yeah, as if like there's a guy, like as if there's actually a DJ sitting over here controlling when that seal came on. And
they're gonna, do you want to get sued?
But one of the reasons, aside from the fact that I want to allow you to plug your shit, one of the reasons I really want to bring it up is because I kind of godfathered you a little bit, I guess. Is that a good way to put it?
What do you mean?
With like your new changes that you're about,
yeah,
to
have. Yeah, actually, you really did. I asked you for just a little bit of advice. Yes. You came back with the War and Peace of criticism, and I've loved every bit of it. I changed it from just some guy standing in front of a camera looking at it, being like, hey, I'm Joel, to I made like a complete
character. Oh, gee, fellas.
Hey, guys.
What am I going to do now? Yeah.
Yeah, the new 1 minute reviews is basically going to look like I basically made a character of a poor man's Dean Martin, who's ever so slightly drunk, standing in front of a green screened lounge / fireplace in the background and just kind of talking like this the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why, I mean I know the basis of my idea, but I don't know why that's what hit me. It was almost like I was waiting for you to ask me for advice, because I was just like rapid fire, like I don't know, but I get like those weird, you know, pings of like a burst of creativity, and that's when I can just fucking just throw random shit everywhere.
But I was worried to ask you for advice, because I really wanted to, like, anyone listening, if you ever want good advice, ask this guy. But the problem is it's gonna go either way. There's no middle ground of like,
it's true,
there's no middle ground. Either you are gonna get really great advice with a good kind of bot behind it, or you are going to get really great advice that cuts you to your fucking core.
It just rips your fucking heart out.
Stupidest piece of shit ever. And I was like, I really want to increase my production, but I'm not sure my heart can take it if he goes the wrong way.
Well, it's because I'm not one of those people. I mean, here's the thing. Like, in just everyday circumstance, yeah, I'm not going to fucking just tear people down to tell them what I think they need to hear. But if someone approaches me and specifically ask for what I think about something, I'm not the kind of person that's going to fucking give you some candy-coated nonsense. I mean, you're asking me for my opinion. And I have always liked what you do, and I never – it's not like every time I've watched any of your videos and I thought, man, he should do this or he should do that. It's just like – it was just you caught me at the right moment, and I immediately had something. And my first thought was the Bruce Campbell Old Spice commercials. Like,
yeah,
that was the first thing that popped in my head. Like, just this dude in loungewear, fucking tie or ascot, whatever, just manly man drunk, you know, in like a manly manish kind of setting. And I don't know, it just sounded like right for what you do. It just in my head, it just sounded like, that sounds like fucking awesome. I would go out of my way to watch it.
Yeah, I tried the Bruce Campbell character a little bit, but there are like two episodes that I just deleted all the footage, because it, that kind of swagger and that kind of appearance that Bruce Campbell has, that's something you have to either like really work at, or it's just natural.
Right, right.
And I don't have that. But a poor man,
his first Old Spice commercial is exactly about that.
Yeah, but
if you have it, you don't need it. If you need it, you don't have it.
But
no, you got to do that, though.
I got that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, you have to do it. Whenever you're trying something new, you've got to kind of do some just for yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, not ever – your personal pilots. But no, I do look forward. When do you think that you'll have the...
I got all the video and the auditing, video, audio, music, all that is done. I'm waiting for a friend of mine to just do the green screen add on in the background.
Are you going to use, are you using the one I sent you, or did you find another one?
I found another one.
Sweet.
That was free.
Yeah, believe me, I understand. Do you want to give your full address for people to find you and check you out?
Absolutely. He's on YouTube.com/ Fuel Neve Review Show.
And they should go there and they should follow and
subscribe, please.
Yes.
I wasn't really serious about doing this, but I think I've met the right woman that I'm going to marry, because her whole thing was, and it was great, because she goes, you know what, honey, if you want to do this full time, you can quit your job and I'll pay all the bills. And I was just like,
Does she have a sister?
Yes, and you don't want that. You don't, no, there will be a murder-suicide. If you weren't
paying? Yeah, exactly.
What?
Oh, Billy.
All right. Well, you know what time it is.
Is it?
Is it? Yes. This is how you're going to know that it's time.
Everybody get up. We ask the questions you want to know. Do I guess really blow? All the answers we told Slim. Will they drive us all insane? Like Morgan Freeman, the voice of God.
Shut up, motherfucker.
The favorite band, Four Non Blondes. Every guest is all the same. It's our mission. Give us a listen. We're really bitches.
It's a questionnaire.
You know you want it.
You know you want it.
You know you want it.
Yeah. All right. Time for the questionnaire. Joel, are you ready?
I am so ready, sir.
What is the worst job you've ever had? And what is your dream job? I should probably point out, you've actually answered these before. But it was like 5 years ago.
My dad was still alive. So yeah, it was a minimum of
Way to bring it down. What is the worst job you've ever had? And what is your dream job?
Worst job I've ever had. I'm going to have to go with Arby's. I worked there for a total of 3 hours, took a break, and walked home.
So you were thinking about it for all the wrong reasons.
What?
Wait, did you say Hardee's or Arby's?
Arby's.
Yeah. You're thinking it. Because that's the thing. You work there. That's the commercial.
That was years ago. I worked there. I worked there for 3 hours. I watched a guy.
Okay. So then
I watched the guy drop roast beef on the floor, pick it up, run it underwater, put it back in the food, and serve it. And I just went, yeah, I can't do this.
You have scruples.
I try.
What was? That just reminded me of a movie quote. I can't remember what it is though. But what was your job right after that?
What was the job right after that? Second worst job?
I guess. like after Arby's, what was your next job?
Walmart.
Yeah, you really stepped it up there.
You really
knocked it out of the park.
And I lasted at Walmart for 5 years. It was 5 years of poor employment choices.
It's a story of my life right there. what's your dream job?
Dream job? Actually, I would love to do the YouTube channel full time. That would be, I think, the perfect gig for me.
But you kind of can, right?
Okay, let me phrase that. I would like to be able to make money doing it full time. You
well, you're on your way, man. You keep stealing ideas from me.
No, I appropriate them through legal means.
No. If you ever make it, though, just give me like a producer credit and I'll be all right.
Oh, I'm trying to get free swag from Four Roses Bourbon. So I know I'm going to have to send you some.
Oh, yeah. I tried to get some from them, too, for the other podcast. They didn't bite. What are a handful of your favorite bands or musical artists?
Handful of my favorite bands. This is going to get me made fun of immensely. But the name Fuel Neve Reviews comes from when I was younger, and they still are two of my favorite bands. Fuel, if you remember them.
My hands are still hemorrhaging.
Don't fall away now. Don't fall.
And that was their song, right? In my hands, in my hands again. Wasn't that them?
Leave love bleeding.
Yeah, leave love bleeding. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the other one is...
That was a nice, cool hit from 1999, 2000.
From the Something Like Human album, track number 3. The fact that I know that shit. No, and the other one is a band called Neve that absolutely no one's heard of unless you've seen the that horror movie, The Faculty.
I have seen that movie.
They have two of their songs in there, and that's the only songs that ever got any traction was from that one movie. And that album is, to me personally, like the perfect pop rock album.
I always get Faculty, and there was another movie, it started with D. It was like, I always get the two. Like, Faculty is the one with the alien, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's another one too, Disturbia or something like.
No, Disturbing Behavior.
Oh yeah, no, Disturbing Behavior has had James Marsden in it. Cyclops and Katie Holmes. Yes. It was. This is actually the one I was thinking of.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, because again, I said Faculty is the one with the aliens, but I remember the plot of Disturbing Behavior. It's where they all kind of like all the kids are like hulking out for some reason. I don't remember why they were hulking out. There was
Behavior modification.
Perfect. Spoiler alert, didn't help anything. So there's two bands.
This is gonna get me made. Linkin Park. There, I said it.
Well, you're in a wheelhouse. At least you're in a wheelhouse.
I like Linkin Park. I'm a big fan of them. I don't care.
You probably could have seen all three of those bands on one ticket at some point. In the late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, you probably could. Shit. And there's a... What was it? There's one band that I'm finding out lately. Black Tide.
I've never heard of them.
They have... fuck balls. Thank God for editing.
Sick balls. I'm not editing any of this. Come on.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah, don't dead air me. Don't dead air me.
Sorry. Black Tide, Honest Eyes. That's their most recent album and their single.
I'm going to help you out. I'm right now looking at an artist similar to Fuel page. Maybe I can open your eyes a little bit. We got some, we got a couple American Idol rejects. We got Daughtry and Bo Bice. We got some 7 Mary 3.
Yes. I like that. I've seen them live a couple times. They're always good.
Got some Clutch.
No.
Got some Godsmack.
Go away.
Go away. I'm doing the best I'll ever.
Why does yours sound like, what is the lead singer of Godsmack sound like Creed?
I actually do pretty decent. Have you ever heard me do Creed?
Yes.
Oh, you have? Okay, then I'm not going to do it again.
Sold Outcast the movie. Yes.
I didn't do. No, that was John Beerley. I think I do better than John Beerley.
I don't know this. Let's hear it.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Oh, you don't know. You better call somebody. Oh, yeah. You called down the thunder.
And today on VH1 Storytellers, Mike Tomes brings us an exquisite tale of loss, betrayal, and Scott Stapp. This is the Tomes Experience.
Hey. Gotta turn my guitar. Okay. This is Scott Stapp covering Hypnotize by Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Recently, niggas frontin' nation, nothing so I took my peace. Keep my peace, Cubans on the Jesus peace. Thank you, God, with my peace. And I pack in and I who wanted. I got a nigga flaunting that Brooklyn bullshit. Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes life it hypnotized me, and I just love flashy ways. That's why they broke and you're so paid. Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes life just hypnotized me, and I love them flashy ways. That's why they broke and you're so pale. Let's go there. Let's go there. I'm on Sold Outcast. Let's ask for a replay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
This has been Twin Storytellers, the toast. I love it. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway.
I love the musical, just the way we divert right off there.
So that happened. What are a handful of your favorite movies?
I am going to say, let's start with Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein.
Right.
Empire Records. I'm so sorry. And Hook.
See, you make up for it with the Empire Records. But here's why I don't like Empire Records before we get into Hook. To me, Empire Records was like the more accessible Clerks. Like if you couldn't like understand Clerks, Empire Records was like a smoother version of it. You know what I mean? It's like it didn't take as much. It was more fun, I think, is a good way to put it. It was like the Marvel cinematic universe of slacker movies in the mid-90s. Clerks was more of a DCU version. Doesn't really have a happy ending. You know, neither does Clerks 2. Clerks 2 kind of has a happy ending, but not when you really can think about it. I mean, they still just work at a fucking convenience store. They just happen to own a shitty convenience store. Yeah, it doesn't even have gas.
No. But just for me, Empire Records, I never seen or heard of Clerks. I grew my mom and dad in particular were very, very strict about the what video movie intake I have. So if it was anything but a PG-13, you were not in our house, not in Jesus's house.
Not in Jesus's house.
So Empire Records was skirting that because they discussed sex and used drugs.
Well, and so, you kind of like pretty much. I mean, here's the thing. Let's not pretend we live in some universe where just because you wear a sheer fucking cotton top with no bra that you're clothed. I mean, let's come on. It's like one of those little rules society has that doesn't really make any sense. Like pasties at a strip club.
Yeah, that pasties at a strip club is kind of like me walking into a room with my pinky over my dick hole and going like, bet you can't guess what's under here.
Right. Well, no, I mean, it gives the city council, the people who wrote the bill and they passed it, it gives them something that they can stand up in front of the churches when they're raising money and they can say, we fought the strip clubs and we introduced laws that, yeah, blah, blah. But it's nothing, man. It's just a little sticker over their nipples.
I'm not arguing that. It's just in my household, man, for my folks went through a phase for about 10 years where they were just all about, they have to have it very strict. And then literally my brother turned like 16 and they all just kind of went, and both of them just kind of went, you know what? There's no real damage. Go on.
Just do it.
That's pretty much what happened. Ian, my brother, turned 16, and they just all of a sudden just went, we're good.
My thing about Empire Records is just that it's just like a whitewashed, like I said, it's like Marvel comic movies versus the new DC movies. It's like, it's one is just meant to be kind of happy-go-lucky, and there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with. So I shouldn't say that I hate Empire Records. I don't hate it. I just don't think it's as good as the alternative. And I tell you what, that my real big beef of that movie is that it makes no sense. But and you could say that And I'll be the first one to say that not all movies need to make sense, but it spends the entire movie telling you that it should make sense, but it doesn't make sense. The whole premise of the movie is that the place is going out of business, and the owner was going to, not the owner, but the co-owner, the manager was going to buy it. He had saved it the money. And if the guy had just not taken the money and went to Atlantic City, there'd be no movie.
Mm-hmm. If Lucas had not taken Joe's money.
Right. If Lucas hadn't taken the money, there would be no movie.
I'm not arguing with you.
And then just nothing bad happens to Lucas either, by the way.
He has to stay on the couch for a while, and that's about it.
You know what he does? He steals the jar of money at the end of the movie, and he goes to Atlantic City. That's what happens.
Turns out the unfortunate subtext that's missed in the that isn't in the theatrical cut is Lucas has a horrible crippling gambling addiction.
Well, he looks like a skeezball. I mean, come on. Total. I mean, he's wearing a fucking turtleneck and a leather jacket, right?
Dude, my memories. The 90s, it was a thing of fucking beauty. If you could wear if you could afford a turtleneck like that and a leather jacket, the amount of pussy you got was astronomical.
Like astronomical.
Yes.
Like how much astronomical?
Five
astronomicals.
Yeah.
Five. Okay. What was the one before that that you mentioned?
Young Frankenstein.
Yes. I think that's my favorite Mel Brooks movie, actually.
Yeah, that is actually the first Mel Brooks movie I ever saw. I can remember seeing. My dad said I sat with him when I was like three and watched Blazing Saddles, and it pissed off my mom something fierce. But Young Frankenstein is the first one I remember. And
somebody going to help that poor man? Now I will say that scene may be my favorite scene of all Mel Brooks movies in Blazing Saddles when he takes himself hostage.
I'm going to shoot this boy.
Oh, Lord, please, no.
I'll do it.
And then, yeah, like I said, the old lady's like, isn't somebody going to help that poor man? After they were just fucking like watching the black dude roll into town. I'm not going to sit to their level.
Let me pull this out real quick.
And what was before that?
Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, that another classic. Most people probably don't know it, but if you like Guns N' Roses, it's the intro to the song Civil War.
What we get here is a failure to communicate.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
So you get what we had here today, just the way he wants it. Yours is better, man.
Some man wants it hot. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you boys do.
Okay, so... But out of all those movies, there's one that stands above all, and that would be 1996's Hook, starring one Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman, who was unrecognizable. I personally feel like was an Oscar-worthy performance. What is your favorite thing about that movie? Like, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene. Honestly, I think to me as a kid, it was the first time I can like put a finger on when I recognized music was as a powerful part to a movie was the scene when he goes to, you know, he's like, oh, there you are, Peter. And he's like, touch him. It's that very dramatic moment. That was the first time as a kid, I was like, what the hell is that music? And it like, that was when I realized music that's that moment when I realized music makes a scene. So for me, that is my favorite scene in Hook because it to me makes me go, oh, I get it. I fucking get it.
Little tiny black kid saved it. Pulled it
playing back. With Robin Williams.
My favorite scene in that movie is, man, I'd have to say it's the suicide scene that or the whatever you want to call it scene when Captain Hook is just like bereft. He's just like downtrodden because Peter Pan isn't Peter Pan. He's not going to get his war. And
people like, what?
Don't try to stop me, Speed. You know, he's got the gun against his head and he keeps saying it. And Speed's like, all right, I'm not going to try me. He's like, don't try to stop me, Speed. Don't try to stop me. Try to stop me. Speed, try to stop me. Get your ass over here. And Speed rushes over and just as he knocks the pistol away, it goes off. He's like, don't you ever scare me like that again.
It had some of the best lines in that. I've had an epiphany. And an epiphany what?
One of my favorite is when he's talking, he's got the kids, he's got Pan's kids, and he's like, it's like some weird like class that he's putting them through. And of course, like, Jack's kind of into it, man. He's, you know, he's the boy. Like, being a pirate doesn't sound so bad, but the girl is like, you know, being a little bitch. And he's like, and Captain Hook like leans down, he's like talking to her, he's like basically telling her how mommy and daddy just want three fucking measly minutes a night without their mindless fucking unstoppable repetitive nagging demands. He's like, he took my toy, she hit my bear, I want a potty, I want a cookie, I want to stay up, I want me, mine, now. And then later he's like, I hate Peter Pan. I love it, man. I love that movie so much. I've seen it. I don't know. It's probably in my top five movies I've seen the most. Like, up there is also like Wayne's World, Cable Guy. It's definitely up there with those. See, what else? What would be the round out of my top of that? Probably Army of Darkness, or especially if you include all of the Evil Dead movies. That would be up there, and then probably Monty Python, Holy Grail.
What did you think of the Evil Dead, Ash versus the Evil Dead series?
I thought it was amazing. I unfortunately didn't finish it. I got sidetracked on other shit. I need to go back and finish it. I know the second season is coming soon. What did you think about it?
I liked it, but since you haven't seen the last of it, I can't really have an in-depth conversation with you. Some points displeased me, some points pleased me.
Well, from what I saw, I mean, it was exactly what I thought it needed to be. Other than the fact that it seemed like, and I haven't seen the last two or three episodes. How many total were there? Were there eight?
Yeah, eight.
I think I saw the first four. I didn't get why they seemed to completely ignore Army of Darkness. Maybe they thought that was just too much mythology to throw in there.
I think so.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, but I think I don't think anyone watching that show, there's no way anyone watched that show not having already seen the prior movies. Like, I just refuse. Maybe people who were dragged to watch it by people who had, but they're not going to care that this guy went to the past and got back to the future and all this other shit. I don't know. It just felt like the end. I just feel like the end of Army of Darkness would have been a perfect pickup point.
Yeah, I agree, but at the same time, I was thinking it probably has something to do with that they only have a total of 4 hours, and you have to work in a big mythology that already exists from the first two movies, that to work in the fact that he also has time traveled and fought demons in, you know, the Middle Ages would be already too much for a big crammed storyline that they have.
Well, I don't think they needed to even really talk about it. They could have done the Evil Dead show without basically preventing you from imagining that it happened in the same.
You would have just liked a couple of nods, a couple of homages.
I didn't hear that. I had to flip my shit around.
I'm guessing you would just really have liked them to either reference it, make a point to include the fact that it happened, or just some, you know, some nods like, oh, I, you know, show like a
just
sword.
Don't wreck on it.
I see that.
You don't even have to address it at all, but like, just don't address it in a way that you make it obvious that it didn't happen. Like, it could have just been something like unspoken.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Kind of.
What are three things on your bucket list?
Three things on my bucket list?
Yes.
I want to go to Ireland. I want to write a movie script.
While in Ireland?
What?
While in Ireland?
Oh, that would be awesome. Fucking write a script in Ireland, and that's how it's going to work. Don't even bother fucking trying, lad.
They're always after me lucky charms. It's a television commercial. There you go. There's your one and only awesome power reference of the night.
Thank you. No, Ireland
movie script.
And I would love to record an album. Like, if we're going balls out bucket list, I would like to record an album.
Like what kind?
probably something that would suit my vocal range, which would have to kind of be American standards because I can't sing anymore. Sort of like scat. A Michael Blake sort
I
of
mean,
sound.
I mean, no one's picked the mantle up from the Scat Man.
The reason is that heavy is the crown that wears the scat.
True, true.
Heavy is the head that wears the scat.
Scooby dooby 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 bop is not easy to do, you know, on an 80 city tour.
And if you're going to disrespect the mic, don't pick it up.
Right, right, right. I was thinking about this other day, just earlier. I have the time. I have the inclination. I would have to relearn how to play piano, but the opportunity doesn't exist just to spend like a year as like a restaurant lounge singer, like a restaurant or like a low key bar in a hotel, just playing like piano and singing cheesy fucking covers, but like super serious.
Oh, I'd pay such good money to see you do that.
Oh, I would love it. I would love every night. I would do it for very little money. Like if I could just have a place to live, be able to afford food, internet, and alcohol, I think I could be pretty happy. Like that's it. If all of those things are covered, I don't need much else.
Just to play.
They gotta buy me a suit. That's the only thing. They gotta get a suit in there for me.
And you gotta have it be a skinny tie.
No, I'm gonna go Ascot, man. I'm gonna go Ascot.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're fucking glassy here.
Probably even wear a wig.
No, don't do that. Don't
well,
do that.
Well, no, I mean, because my current
being
look.
Follically challenged is a good look on you.
It is. Well, yeah, I look like I'm only missing a motorcycle. Like, that's what I look like. Doesn't work for this dream, though. That's why I would need to get like some slick back, like weave or something going on.
Or you just shave everything, keep the bald head, but you have to cut your mustache, go just a little bit more than the John Waters mustache.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with the ascot, yeah, you're so...
That's getting close on, like, pederast, though. Like a pederast look. Like, keep him away for your kids. If there is a god, what does he, she, or it sound like?
Gregory Peck.
That's a good one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
in my humble opinion, I honestly think God sounds like Gregory Peck. None of this Morgan Freeman. I think God's sick of Morgan Freeman at this point.
Well, it's like the go-to answer. Hence the line in the questionnaire theme song.
See, I thought you were going to break out the original Sold Out Cast.
No.
Sold Out Cast questionnaire.
That was basically... The beginning of it was Fear of the Dark by Iron Maiden. And then I just started to scream. That was the original theme. No, this one, I love this one, man. It's all like, it's, you know, it's about 2 years behind the times now. Okay, so thank you for stopping by, like, digitally.
Hey, I'm always happy to have a chit-chat with an adult that isn't shitting their pants.
Yeah. Let me give you a bonus question.
Okay.
If you were sent back in time and forced to join a villainous group, what group would that be that you would join?
I would have
pre-1980 to like the beginning of time.
All right, then I am gonna have to go with Genghis Khan's crew. Just the sheer destructive rape of the world.
Well, I think if
you're gonna go back in time and be a villain,
right?
Be the one, the OG, the man who 0.3%.
So you would go Khan over Attila, is what you're saying.
What?
You would go with Genghis Khan over Attila?
Yes.
That'd be a pretty good epic fight, I think. Khan versus Attila.
I think Genghis would win.
I think, you know what? As much as I love modern technology, I think I could be at home in like either the Dark Ages or at the end of the Roman Republic. Like
I could see you more at the Roman Republic than the Dark Ages.
Because see, the thing, this is going to sound bad, but I could probably kill somebody. I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm not saying that it's something I think about and I'm like a maniac murderer. But if I were thrust into a society where that was part of life, I think I would adapt pretty quick. I don't think most people could today. Like most people today, they wouldn't be able to do that. But I think I'm like Marv.
Yeah.
I'm like Marv from Sin City. My mitts. I got my mitts and that's all I need. I'd be right at home on a battlefield swinging an axe to again, Quest and City.
I could see you. You would, with that beard, yeah, you win.
All right. Well,
you walk out on the field of battle with an axe, I'm fucking running.
If I walked out of here right now with an axe, you probably should run. That's how I go to Walmart. Okay. So, well, Joel, thank you for coming along. Do you want to give that link again for YouTube?
Actually, yeah, just go to YouTube, type in Fuel Neve Reviews, FuelNeve. It will literally bring my ugly mug right up.
When do you think your new one's going to be dropping?
I know I have two reaction videos coming out. Two next week, so it'll probably be a week or two before the new episodes of 1 Minute Review start.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it.
And, of course, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a big shout-out to Fuel Neve Review's first official sponsor, Fleshlight. That's right.
Yeah, we didn't get to it.
Fleshlight. Just remember, every time your partner says no, Fleshlight says, yes, please.
And the answer to your question is yes. You fight for me, you get to kill the English.
Excellent!